Thank you, Peter. Good morning, church. Good morning. It is so great to see you all here today. Peter said he's been here for 7.5 years. I've been here for 7.5 months. So it's nice to meet some of you for the very first time. We have a lot of visitors with us today, and we are so glad that you are made the effort to come here and help us in this journey that we're on and be a part of this celebration. This is a day of celebration. This is a day of both remembering the past and also looking to the future, and we'll get some opportunities to talk more about that later. We are a part of something bigger here at Edgewater. We are a part of a denomination, the Evangelical Covenant Church, and we were going to have one of their representatives here, but she had an issue at her church this morning. So she actually forwarded the letter that they were going to read this morning. I want to read this to you. Actually, it's pretty small. This is something that happens. Your eyes get older. This is from the Pacific Southwest Conference. It says, "Dear friends and family of Edgewater Covenant Church, the Lord is the strength of his people. He is the saving refuge of his anointed. Oh, save your people and bless your heritage. Be our shepherd and carry us forever." Psalm 28:8-9. "It is with great joy that I greet you in the name of the Lord on the 10th anniversary in your journey as a congregation in the Evangelical Covenant Church. Indeed, the Lord has been your strength and refuge. Your heritage connects with the rich heritage of the churches throughout the ages, being a people devoted to worshiping God, studying his word, and ministering in his name. You have modeled in our midst a commitment to touching the lives of the lost and the least in a way that is commendable. You have honored God through your service in many ways. We are so grateful for you. May you continue to know the reality of the Lord as your shepherd as you enter this new season of fellowship and ministry together." I feel weird about reading this part. "I pray for Steve, the staff and leaders, and for you. May he carry you forward to bless others as he has blessed you. God's very best to you. Paul Wilson." He is our superintendent of our conference. So we wanted to share that with you this morning. Normally, I don't like having my phone up here because then it'll beep in my pocket, and I don't like that. I'm glad that you're here. Thank you for the ways that you have poured into this church through the years, whether you are a former member and you are living in a new location, whether you're at another church at this moment. For our current members, we thank you for remaining faithful to our church. For our future members, and we'll get to see some of them, the church of today and tomorrow, we want to continue to pour into you and you and all the other little ones that are scattered around and back in our kid zone. So we look forward to seeing some of them a little bit later. We're going to have a time of prayer this morning. And I want to invite Sarai to come on up, and we are going to co-pray this morning for you, the church, giving praise to God for all that he has done, all that he is doing, and all that he will do for each of you, wherever you are. There you go. So would you pray with me, please? Great God, we praise you. You alone are worthy to receive glory and honor and power. By your word, you create and you sustain and you redeem. Lord our God, we stand in awe of you and we give you thanks for all that you have done and will do through this body of believers. We are thankful this day to you for bringing us together, for allowing us this time and space to reflect on the past and look to the future. We trust that as you have walked with us every step of our lives, that your promise still stands to always be with us until the end of the age. Lord, we ask for your forgiveness when we falter and fail. Convict us of our sin and our sinful tendencies that draw us away from you. Cause our hearts to warm and turn to you in repentance. Restore us so that we are renewed and can reflect your light to a hurting and needy world. We praise you this day for the many blessings that you have showered upon us. May many stories and laughs be shared as we fellowship together with your church.
Heavenly Father, Estamos muy agradecidos contigo en esta mañana porque tú estás aquí. Gracias, Señor, porque tú eres creador del universo, porque tú eres nuestro Dios todopoderoso. Y hemos venido aquí para agradecerte por estos 10 años de vida que has dado a esta iglesia de Edgewater. Gracias, Señor, por tu fidelidad. Gracias, Señor, por las bendiciones que hemos visto en la vida de cada uno de tus hijos. Gracias, Señor, porque tú nos perdonas a pesar de lo que somos. Gracias, Señor, porque tú estás trabajando en nuestras vidas. Has trabajado estos 10 años y estás trabajando ahora, y esperamos anticipadamente, Señor, tu trabajo en nuestros corazones, en nuestras vidas, desde el más joven hasta el más grande, Señor. Gracias, Padre, te pedimos que tú sigas dirigiendo nuestras vidas, que tú sigas iluminando nuestro camino y que tu Espíritu Santo sea nuestra guía, sea nuestra protección y sea, Señor, el que provee para todas las necesidades de nuestra iglesia. Te alabamos, te bendecimos y que tu nombre sea glorificado hoy y cada día de nuestra vida. En el nombre de Cristo Jesús. Amén.
Lord, we know that there are many here today who are in need and hurting. There's many things that are drawing our focus away from you. Will you help still and quiet our anxieties? Receive our burdens. We pray for our brothers and sisters around the world who gather as well to worship you today. Lift up spirits, renew hope, restore relationships. Lord, we pray for your peace, which passes all understanding, to wash over this world as we await your return. Lord Jesus, draw our eyes closer to you now. Bind our hearts to yours and guide our next steps as we live for you. For it is in the strong and powerful name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. And the church said, amen. Lord, thank you for hearing us. Thank you for loving us. Now will you give us ears to hear you? We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I would be remiss in all the excitement of the day. I realized I didn't actually say my name. And for those of you that have never met me, my name is Steve Houghton, and it is my joy to serve as the pastor at Edgewater Covenant Church. And I have been praying for you longer than I knew you and knew this church. And God has been preparing our hearts to join yours. And so thank you for that opportunity. I also want to give thanks to the many people who helped pull this day together, our 10th anniversary committee, and also all of the folks who help almost every single Sunday with setup, takedown, all the details. So thank you all for your help in pulling this day off together, and we can give glory to God today. We're going to be in the Word in Matthew chapter 5 today, and up on the table to my right, well, first of all, I have the shirt that you guys gave me when we said yes to come out here. And then I also have the thing of salt that you gave me on my first Sunday. I still haven't opened it. And you'll understand in a few moments why I didn't have to open it. And then I have the little flashlight that you gave me. The one that you gave me didn't have any batteries, so I had to put my own in. But I have those here today as some visual symbols for us. I also brought a whole bunch of stuff. And as I was thinking about our theme today, salt and light, you should have gotten in your bulletin a little magnet that you can take home. And if you want, we have some extras back there, so make sure that you take these. Put this on your fridge. Let this be a great reminder of today. And not just today, but our call as followers of Christ every day to be salt and be light. The reason I did not have to open this up is because as I was looking around at home, I am embarrassed. At all of the salt that I found, Rebecca said that she is embarrassed as well. And even new salt, salt substitute, which is gross. This was a little salt shaker that was in the bedroom. For those of you that don't like pure salt, some seasoning salt. I think one of them actually says, oh yeah, the new salt says gross actually on the top of it. And then, of course, salt to clear your sinuses during allergy season. So all of this salt at home, I'm going to actually take my tower apart so that it doesn't fall all over. All of these salt, oh, plus the salt shaker, forgot about that. And I'm sure if I looked around more, I could find more salt examples. But that's just half of the story that Jesus shares. He also talks about light. And so I brought just a variety of our lights. My favorite, this is not just a light, but it's also a safety device when you're camping, and you can fend off those raccoons. This is when you're in your tent camping, and it gets dark, and you can start to read late into the night, and it's got a low setting for so that you don't annoy your spouse, all right, which is nice. I'll leave that off. Another little flashlight, and these are just the ones that I found in about 20 minutes, and then a nice little pen light, because I am married to a nurse who has to look in people's throats. So all of these different examples of light. All of the salt you see here, all of the light that you see here, it's all the same stuff. It's just packaged differently, just like you and me. And as Christ says, be salt and be light, he's not saying that we all have to be alike. In fact, that's what actually makes life really interesting. The fact that God created you and made you as the unique person you are with all of your gifts, some might call them quirks, and skills and talents, so that you can be salt and be light to a world that needs it desperately. We're going to look at the word this morning. Jesus' first followers were searching for something to believe in, and Jesus comes along, and earlier in that chapter of Matthew, he says, come follow me, and I will make you fishers of people. I am giving you a new mission, and then he begins to teach them. They're just learning a new way to live as they say yes to following Jesus. And for you and me as well, whenever we say yes to Jesus, some of you have a long time ago, some of you have just recently said yes, and some of you have yet to say yes, but you're getting closer. All of us are seeking how to follow Jesus every day. How do we practice what Jesus says? He shares these words. He has just finished up telling the crowds that are gathered around, blessed are you, blessed are you. And all of these different qualities that he's looking for and seeking. People that are humble, people that are seeking peace. All of these different things. And then he uses these two common images, salt and light. Let me read the verses for us. Matthew 5, 13 through 16. Jesus says, you are the salt of the earth, but what good is salt if it has lost its flavor? Can you make it salty again? It will be thrown out and trampled underfoot as worthless. You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see. Why? So that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. We have to remember, because sometimes we're tempted, we read those words and we say, he's speaking to me, and he is. But he's also speaking to all y'all. My Mississippi roots are kind of coming out just now. It's you all are to be these things in the world. See, Christ is always about individual people coming to know him, but then binding you to something bigger than yourselves, the body of Christ, to love and serve others in this world. Jesus is describing how a family of faith is formed, like you hear today, past, present, and future. And how we can make a real difference in our world for the sake of the good news of Jesus Christ. Why did he use these two substances, salt and light to illustrate the influence that he expects us to have. This is a high calling for Jesus to say this to his people. Well, see, they have unique substances. They have unique characteristics and qualities. They make an impact in your life. You know if they're present or absent. If you go to a place and they don't overly salt their food, you know it. If they undersalt their food, you know that as well. And these things, salt and light, are everywhere. You can find it in our bedroom. When it's spilled on the floor, there is salt. And then we have to turn on the light to find where all that salt is and brush it off. And my wife loves me for embarrassing us in this moment. Let's talk about salt first. Jesus says, "You are the salt of the earth." Salt was an important substance in the biblical world as it is for us today. It was a prized commodity. It was actually considered a form of payment for soldiers in the army. That's where we derive the word salary from, salt payment, so to speak, salt money. So Jesus uses this image because he knows it's one that everybody is going to understand. He knows that its uses mirror how we are to live today. We're going to just highlight a few of those briefly. Four things. First one is that salt is a preservative. Salt preserves. It makes things last longer. Now, I come from a Swedish background, my ancient ancestors, and one of their prized meals is, someone is already shaking their head, they know, lutefisk, which is dried, salted, congealed cod, and it's just disgusting. And they used salt back in the day to help preserve things and make it last longer. When you don't have refrigeration like we would suspect in the Bible, I don't think that they had any Whirlpool or Kenmore available to them, salt is essential to slow down spoiling. Those of you that go hunting, maybe you salt some of your meat and things like that. As believers today, we are to act like preservative, continuing to share the gospel that was passed on to us by someone else in our life, those generations that have come before, and also to share that to the generations that will come to believe in Jesus. Salt preserves. Salt also flavors. That's probably the one that we know the most. When you go to a restaurant and you taste their food, sometimes you have to add a little salt. Some of you are on a low salt diet because you get too much salt in your life. But salt is something that enhances the flavor. It enhances the taste. When we go visit some of our family, sometimes we sneak a little extra salt to make it taste a little bit better than it should or can. Salt draws things out and creates memorable experiences. I want you to think for a moment, what is the most memorable meal you've ever had? The most memorable meal you've ever had. Now imagine that meal without a lick of salt on it. Can you imagine that? The most memorable thing I ever had was not even the main course. It was a side dish of salted truffle mashed potatoes. And I will remember those to the day I die. Not because I really like truffle mashed potatoes so much, but because there was just something about the salt amount that they put in there that made it memorable. And that was 8 years ago. And I can still remember it to this day. Have you ever tasted something with no seasoning? Some of you are thinking about family dinners. You go home for the holidays, and you might have to sneak your own salt into things. It's kind of bland, maybe uninspiring, certainly not memorable. You'd rather forget some of the food that you've had to eat. My friends, our shared life of faith is not meant to be boring, bland, or unforgettable. It is supposed to be flavor-enhancing, the good stuff of life, the best stuff of life. We are to add flavor and enhance what we see and do in this world so that those who have not yet discovered Christ take notice and say, I want some of that. Salt flavors. Salt also disinfects. Often they would take salt in the ancient world as an antiseptic to promote healing. They would actually rub it on the bodies of babies to heal certain cuts after they were born, help prevent infections in babies. Salt disinfects, and as people today, it's not something we think of. You know, we put some other kind of antiseptic on. But our life together as a church is like a disinfectant. We are supposed to offer help and healing for those in need. Why? Because of what Christ has done for us and what he calls us to do in this world, to reach out to the hurting, the least, the lost, the lonely, those who are broken because we have brokenness in our own lives. Salt disinfects. And last one, as you lick your lips right now, salt creates thirst. When you eat those salty snacks, later this afternoon or even outside at our meal, salt highlights our needs. It highlights that we are thirsty. It makes us aware that there are other things that we need in our life. You can go for many hours. There are times where I'll be working and I forget to take a sip of water. But if I'm munching on a potato chip, I need water within minutes because I'm like, man, I'm thirsty. Salt highlights our thirst. You know, when Jesus came, no one knew that they were truly thirsty until he said, I am the life-giving water that you've been searching for your entire life, the water that will make you never thirst again. I am the food that will make you never hunger again. Follow me, he said. Salt of the earth is what the word says. As salt, think of the difference that Jesus has made in your life or in the lives of people that you know. How has he helped another who has been in your life, in your path, to realize that they too are thirsty for what only Christ can offer? One of the things that we want to do today is highlight past, present, and future. So I've asked Brittany Ramos to help me out for a moment. We're all here as the one gathered church of Edgewater. And I'd like her to be able to share a little bit of the impact. Are we going to use this one? Thank you. Sure. I will ask you the question. That's fine. We kind of are doing this. We're doing this a little on the fly. So the question that I wanted to ask is, how did you first connect with Edgewater?
Hello, everybody. I first connected with Edgewater thanks to a couple friends of mine. You might remember them, Casey and James Bullock, who are now married and living in Sacramento area. I actually used to work with Casey at Graceland Christian Bookstore, which is no longer there if you remember it. And we had heard John come and talk at Golden Hills once and thought, oh, and I didn't pursue it. I kind of felt like, oh, I should check that out, and I didn't pursue it. And then Casey was the one who invited me to actually come and check out Edgewater. She said that I would really love it. And so I came, I think we came once, we came again, and then we just didn't stop coming. So it was really, that's how we ended up coming here, but being invited.
Awesome. Yeah, that's always great to hear how people have made a connection with our church family, whether it was a long time ago or for some of you making that connection even now. How has your life been impacted by your time at Edgewater?
My life has been drastically impacted by Edgewater. I would say that because of Edgewater and like meeting the people here and becoming not just a church of people who just attend and then see you next week. You know, we weren't like that. We were a family and a family unit. And that's what made me fully understand and see what real love was amongst other people outside of your immediate family, because I didn't have that here. So I had moms here, I had dads here, I had siblings here, I had younger people here that I was just enjoying spending time with. And so they all completely changed the way I look at love and friendship and relationships with other people. And it also led me to serving a lot. I served a lot before Edgewater, but after Edgewater, I just can't stop. So I thank you guys for that. And now it leads me to actually looking for positions at churches now and working in ministry. So if it wasn't for Edgewater, I don't think I'd be where I'm at today. Neither would my husband, who grew a lot here as well. So
awesome. Yeah. Hey, thank you so much. Let's give Brittany a hand. One of the things we said a couple weeks ago is you never know the impact that you can have. And it's cool to hear stories of how this church has had an impact in people's lives. You are the salt of the earth. Thank you. But Jesus does not stop there. He goes on. He says, you are the light of the world. He uses this second image of light, something that we all know well, to illustrate how we engage the world that we live in. Again, we're going to highlight just a couple of functions of light. Most of these you already know. Number one, light is something that illuminates. And you're thinking, duh. It illuminates. It drives away darkness. It pushes back the shadows of confusion and fear and anxiety. It's that moment in the middle of the night where you walk into your room in the dark, you see something lurking in the corner, and then you flip on the light and you realize it was just a pile of laundry. At least that's what it looks like in my bedroom sometimes. Light reveals the truth of what is actually there. As the church, so we also are Jesus' way to reveal the truth of his presence to the world. We are his strategy for a world in darkness as his light bearers, called to bear his light out into the world. Light is something that illuminates. Light is something that awakens us. It awakens the world. This would be number two. Light begins a new day. It announces itself to the world that today is here. A new day is dawning. Light tells the birds right outside our window to start chirping at 4:30 in the morning and the puppy to start barking in our neighbor's backyard. Light announces the beginning of things. As Christ's light bearers in this world, we also work to awaken people to the reality that a new day has dawned with the coming of Christ. Jesus is present. His living, active presence has made a difference, a real difference in our life. If I could think back 10 years to how I was 10 years ago and how I am today, I know, I don't just believe, I know that Christ has transformed me. And I know that that is so true for many of you as well. Light awakens the world. Number three, light acts as a signal. We know this well. It can be either a beacon of safety or a sign of warning. We have lights all over our society. Lighthouses, police lights, road construction, illuminated exit signs that tell us where to go, and all sorts of other lights in our life. Christ calls us to live as beacons of hope in this world, to be lights that actually shine, not lights that are concerned about preserving themselves. He wants us to not be safe as we share our light to the world. He wants us to be a place of refuge and safety for all, to be a church that people can count on to be there, not just when things are good, but when the going gets tough. That is hard to be light at that moment. Light acts as a signal. And the last one, and there's probably a whole host of other ones we could bring up today. Light attracts. It draws things closer to itself. When I turn this on when we go camping, what do you think is drawn to this when it's out? Yeah, bugs. It attracts bugs. It attracts moths. Maybe you've got a porch light outside your house that does the exact same thing. Now, we don't necessarily want to attract bugs as the light, or maybe we want the right kind of bugs. I'm not sure exactly. But light attracts. We want to live in such a way that the gospel of Jesus Christ is actually good news, that it is attractant, not gospel repellent. You know, we have repellent when you go camping. It's called deep woods off. That's not what God is calling us to be. He's calling us to be a light that attracts people and points people to him. We live so that others are drawn closer to Christ, free to explore what this light is about. And as they come to know Christ, they will make that decision in their own time. It's why, if you haven't made the decision yet to say yes to Christ, do so today. And if you're interested, I'd love to talk to you after the service, and we'll do it together. I want to invite Cheese and Kenya Randall up to share about their experience with Edgewater. They are here representing the church of both yesterday and the church of today. And similarly, I have a couple of questions. You guys can kind of tag team however you would like to do it. How did you guys first connect with Edgewater?
So about 10 years ago, our family left the Catholic Church. And we felt it was time for us to kind of move on. And we actually weren't going to any church for about a year. We were just watching TV ministry. And we were watching Dr. Charles Stanley, who we love and adore. And even though we were learning from him from television, God just kept speaking to us that we need to be in a church body. And the message every week from Dr. Stanley was, you need to be in a church body. And it was just like this continual message from God that you need to actually be in a community.
Yeah.
And so I started searching the internet and found churches in Pittsburgh and went to the website, and I was drawn to Edgewater. Cheese and I checked it out, and the moment that we walked in the door, we just felt like this was our home.
Mm-hmm.
We thought that couldn't be right, so we came here a couple of times, and we tried another church, but our heart was just drawn here, and we came back, and this has been our church home.
Awesome. What's kept you here? What's kept you connected here?
Definitely the people, and I like being busy and serving. Didn't like that before, but now it's God is working, you know. But definitely just learning and growing and serving together, learning together.
So it's been a place for you to both believe and belong and serve using the gifts that God has gifted you with.
Absolutely. It's one of the things that I really wanted to be a part of in a church was be able to serve. And here you can serve many places, and they'll put you to work really quick, but it's a good thing, and I wouldn't ever change that. I love to serve. I'm thankful that I have a place to serve. I'm glad that I have a place to worship. This is a family, like Brittany was saying. This isn't just something you do every Sunday because you're supposed to. It's a family, and I want to be here. And I enjoy being here, and I need it. I need it in my life. I need to worship. I need to be part of a family.
Amen. How has your life changed through being a part of this body?
Tremendously. I've never had a community of believers that I really felt that I could truly be myself. I was very disconnected in church that we went to before, and here it flourished, and I was able to open up about difficult things and growth group and grow with people and show my heart, and other people showed me theirs, and it felt good and felt right, and it reaffirmed that God really did make us to be a part of a community. We need each other, and so that's the biggest thing for me that's changed.
Awesome. And last question, how can we as the church help you both to grow in your faith?
I guess just staying connected, staying true to one another, praying for us. I got baptized here, so this was like,
praise the Lord,
a true like awakening for me and that next step. So I guess just staying a family, staying as one.
Anything else you want to add?
I agree with Chief's prayer, accountability. I think that we all need to know that we all have faults and we have shortcomings, and that we can all come alongside each other. And just to be there to, there's times where you go through rough things, and to be able to share that and people share their tough times with us, that we can just grow together. I think that's how we can grow.
Thank you so much. Let's give them a hand. Thank you, guys. Cheese and Kenya are here just about every week as part of our setup and takedown crew and faithfully serving. And as they said, yeah, if you want to serve, we will allow you to serve. We've got plenty of opportunities, and we want to plug you in. To be able to, for you to serve, not just serve in any capacity, but to serve in ways that God has really gifted you to serve, so that you can feel a sense of greater purpose. Like, God needs me and is using me for his glory. You are the light of the world. You know, as followers of Jesus Christ, you are the seasoning salt of the earth. You are the light bearers in this world. So what does that mean for us as a church? I think it reminds us of at least one primary thing, that God's primary strategy to make a difference in our world is you. Men and women, young and old, people committed to following Christ to make a difference in this world for Jesus' sake. It involves you and me and we. Because God created you, he handcrafted you, it means that you matter to God. There might be many areas of your life where you feel like you don't matter, but if you would only believe one thing today, know this, you matter to God. You matter to God. The people in your life may forget about you at times. Your friends might come and go. Your church might even come and go at times, but God never leaves you or forsakes you. One of the images, that was my mistake. I can't hear now. Can you hear me now? No, this is not a Verizon or Sprint commercial. You know, your uniqueness as a person, when Christ says you are the light of the world, you know, he wants you to use your uniqueness. He wants you to use your gifts. But see, one of the temptations is, you know, he wants our light to shine, but then, you know, we start to think that we're all that, and we do things like this. You know, and suddenly the light of Christ turns into the spotlight on us. I call this the me light. The me light, you know. The me light is like our Facebook version of ourselves. You know, only get me from this view. It's the best view. You know, not this view. That's the less good view. But see, that's our temptation as people, is this me light. And Christ is calling us to be the we light. As I break the light. That's modern products for you today. He wants us to be the we light, to take the light off of us. You know, when he says, let your good deeds shine forth, he's not saying let your good deeds shine forth onto you. He's saying, let them shine forth out into the world so that people will glorify God in heaven and give praise to him. We want to be the we light, not the me light. I'm going to focus that towards you, though, all right? Away from me. It also means that if we want to do this, we have to stick close to Christ. Do you know that when the further we get away from Christ, the less like him we are? And if Christ calls us to be like him, if we are to be salt like he is salt, if we are to be light like he is light, then that means that we have to stay close to him. Remain close to him. We have to allow his presence to continue to transform us. I'll move this back here. So that we actually do make a difference in this world. So we do actually reach out. You know, when salt is pure, it is always salt. It only fails to stay salt when it becomes impure. When things are added into the mix, it becomes unremarkable, unstable, unneeded. To stay salty, not salty in the bad sense, we don't want to be salty today. We want to be salt. Stick close to Christ. If we are light, then we let it shine. We don't need to hide it. We don't need to be ashamed of the gospel. We want to draw people to the source that guides our life now. We want to be we light that points others to the light, Jesus Christ. I want to call you, church, to immerse yourself in the Word, in Jesus. Immerse yourself in whatever body you are a part of, whether it's Edgewater here or a church that you are a part of somewhere else. If you're not currently in a church and you're visiting here today, I want to encourage you, just as was shared, to connect so that it's less about me and more about we. I want to invite one final person up, Alana Hoppe. She's going to share about her experience at Edgewater. And Alana represents both our church of today and our church of tomorrow as one of our youth. And she has great courage for agreeing to be up here and do this. So, same question. How did you first connect with Edgewater?
Okay, so my family's in the military, and about almost 2 years ago now, we moved down here from Seattle, and we were looking at churches, and we went to like 3 or 4 churches, and this is the one that stuck out to us, and we've like become part of the family here. We've gotten close. We've me and my sister take part in our youth group, and we help with the little kids, and we help set up and tear down, and it's just a family. I know I'm piggybacking on everybody else, but we are a family.
What do you enjoy about Edgewater?
I like almost everything. Youth group is probably one of my favorite things. I love hanging out with everybody my age and hanging out with Karen and Ezra and Cindy. They're awesome. But I also like the worship. I like singing, and so worship here is awesome.
Awesome. And lastly, last question. How do you hope to grow through this extended family? Or how do you want to grow? This is the fastball. Inside.
I don't know. I've been in the church my whole life. If I had picked like one part where I feel like I need growth in my Christian life, I'd have to be sharing my faith and having the courage to talk to others. So probably that.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Let's give Alana a hand. She's going to stay up here, and we have the church. And so I want to invite all of our young folks to come up here, okay? And I want you to be right up in the front. I want the whole church to be able to see you today, okay? While they're making their way up, remember, God created you. Who you are matters. Remain close to him. And finally, the Spirit leads you, so be visible in your faith. And one of the things that we wanted to do this morning is to have the church of today and tomorrow up front to remind us of what we are doing here, to remind us of the mission that God calls us. And if there, hey, Amy, do we have anyone that wants to describe what they're showing us? Would anyone want to do that?
Let's talk to Groove and Apex first. Somebody like to explain what you did today? Don't volunteer who wants to talk about your people.
Zion, thank you.
Here, come over here.
We'll talk to Pastor Steve.
Here, come right up here so everyone can see you, okay? Because we want the whole church to see the church.
Okay.
Here you go. Will you describe what this is for us?
People who do what for you?
You got it.
I know we can go.
They're not usually this shy.
To be honest, I'm putting them on the spot. And you know, as adults, most of you would not want this either.
For the first page, we wrote down people who help remind us about God. And for the second page, we wrote down who we want to help remind about God.
Wow. Thank you so much. That's amazing. Anything else that you'd like to say?
I made people.
You made people? Wow. And we'll look forward to seeing that. Oh, that's cool. So who did you make?
This one's Fred, the one in the yellow, and the other one in the green is Frida.
Fred and Frida. Okay, maybe that's the church of the future as well, okay? Hopefully, we're your parents. Hopefully, a long time from now, though, okay? All right. And then, do we...
Adam or...
Hey, come here.
PJ, maybe, can you tell us what you did on your paper? Who did we learn about today?
Here, come over here.
I'll tell Mr. Steve.
Here. I want... Will you tell me about your... Tell me about what you guys did?
We made Jesus' hand, and this... And the hand that is pointing at the other hand... is the one that is pointing at the hole that Jesus got speared when he was nailed to the cross.
Oh, sorry, Thomas.
Wow. Amazing. Anything else that you want to say about this?
Jesus didn't stay dead forever. That he rose up from the dead.
Preach it. Go for it. Go for it. Yeah, let's give them a hand. We wanted to do that because we want you, the church, to see the church, the full church, and to remember part of what it is that we are doing here. Because none of us come to faith on our own. We stand on the shoulders of those that have come before us, and we have a responsibility to do that for those who will come after us as well. And so I'm so excited that our kids are here and get to be a part of that. You know, Jesus calls us to impact the world around us. So if you are salt, then fulfill your purpose. Be salt. If you are light, then fulfill your purpose. Be light. There's a question at the back of your bulletin at the very bottom. How is God's Spirit speaking to you today, moving you to act as we are called to be salt and light in this world? We're going to pray now, and as we conclude our time in prayer, you kids, if you want to go back to your folks, wherever they are, you can do that. We're going to pray, and then we're going to sing together, and then we're actually going to try to take a congregational selfie or a picture, if we can do that, before we head out. All right, so let's pray. Lord, I want to give you thanks for this day. I thank you for the way that you are at work in the lives of each person here. All that you are doing. God, you are so good. You have been at work since the beginning of the world, and over 10 years ago, your Spirit moved a group of people to join together and form Edgewater Covenant Church. And today, many have come from east and west, north and south, to join together to worship and celebrate. We give you all the honor and glory. And now, as we prepare to go out into the world, enable us to be salt and to be light. We pray this in the strong name of Jesus. Amen.